Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday the 13th, I'm sure it's a lucky one for you, of January, recording at 8:25 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. But first, just a quickie review of the week. Global stock markets, mostly a pause here following the very good gains with which the year opened. I think most of the boys and girls have exhausted a fair amount of buying power here short term and are just hoping that this is a pause here, enabling markets to catch a second wind. More on that later. In terms of government bonds, after a midweek wobble, they have ended the week on a firm note and are still within the rally patterns that we've seen in recent weeks. That's helping stock markets, or at least ensuring that there's no pressure from that sector on stock markets. And the US dollar, barely steady here. Looks like it's going to close out the week close to small range lows, and that's following last week's big hits on the downside. Precious metals, very firm. And we've got a new high in here and for palladium today. I must be also, yes, and gold as well. That's an interesting story. And industrial metals, mostly pretty firm in here. Crude oil gave up some of those earlier gains, but well, crude's pretty steady overall. It's natural gas that tends to, that has a chart that tends to resemble a deep water drilling operation right now. Okay, so let's go back to the big themes overall. We've had a wonderful 33-month run. There are cyclical problems ahead, as you know, and, well, new subscribers coming all the time. So this second year of a U.S. presidential term is historically the least good year overall. And if you're going to have a serious correction during a presidential election cycle, the second year is one that is most likely to catch it in the neck, as it were. And we have the rising interest rates, although I maintain that we've certainly got interest rates that are still reasonably favorable for stock markets. They're not all that high relative to the inflation, which is not the inflation that's actually being reported. And we have, which concerns me more, is this firming up in the oil price. And according to Matthew Simmons, it's only one brief cold snap in the eastern part of the USA away from another push on up towards the Katrina levels or more. So these are all factors to be concerned about. In terms of the individual charts, as I've said before, a few of them have accelerated or the uptrends are certainly steepening, which is a warning sign that the cycle is maturing. A few of them have faltered or become more choppy, which is another signal that the overall cycle is maturing. And also some of the upside impetus on a few others has slowed a little bit. I think Japan's Nikkei will show that type of a pattern. Also another sign that the cycle may be in its very late stages. To offset that possibly is the vast amount of liquidity that has been pumped into markets. And this really has been, for the last 33 months and counting, the rising tide that generally lifts all boats, as we have seen. Now, you know, I keep seeing reports and comments that, oh, liquidity is contracting here or there, but I think they're generally fairly wide of the mark, or it's some sort of arcane measurement that doesn't stand up against what's going on in the markets. Certainly, markets have been awash with liquidity. That's been the big story of this cycle all the money creation, paper money creation that's taken place. And that's a story that I think is going to run and run. And if any factor around mitigates, let alone completely removes the chances of a cyclical medium-term correction in 2006, probably during the second and third quarters, it would be that rising tide of liquidity. And it's for that reason that I'm not pressing the sell button here generally on positions. And I'm keen to run stock market holdings, both of a speculative and also investment nature, for a bit longer in here. I do feel that if we get that correction, that it will create a great buying opportunity before the end of the year. And the good news, if the second year is bad, and it is historically, the third year is the best, and the fourth year of a presidential cycle isn't bad as well. So that would mean that if the historic numbers came up, that we'd have a pretty good run in 2007 and 2008. But we're all going to pass a lot of water between now and then, as Samuel, to paraphrase Samuel Goldwyn. So let's just keep an eye on the charts and see what happens in here. In terms of big themes, my favorites, very briefly this time, since I cover them every week in these audios, the biggest of the big themes in here is supply inelasticity meets rising demand, and that applies to all of the industrial resources. So I like those sectors, and I like the shares in those sectors. I own a number of them. I like funds in those sectors, and I also am including the precious metals in that sector, which I play via the futures contracts. And I bought more silver today, and fortunately still able to pay under where I had closed my big position out in December, before buying back during the December reaction. And I also bought back the gold that I had bought at the December reaction lows, and then traded out as gold got back up to test its highs earlier that month. I had to pay a little bit more than I had sold that gold for. So I don't like to pay up for precious metals, as you know, but the action is too good, and with gold pushing to a new high, I felt I really did need to step back in there with at least a partial position. I'm not going to leverage up in a big way up at these levels, because markets, my strategy for that is to get aggressive when I can buy, well, preferably on weakness, and then we get the market moving upwards, and then I can protect initial positions and add to them and so on as I go along. But let me get back to the big theme here overall. None is better than this overall industrial resources sector. And that's a theme that I expect to be playing for a very long time. Now, another hugely important theme: emerging markets. And I favor those to all of the industrialized markets, all of the developed country markets, save two. And the two that I favor among the industrialized markets are Japan and Korea, and it's pretty well they're pretty well on an even pegging. Maybe I'd give Japan the slight nod, but you know, on a different day, I'd probably it's just a coin flip, so it's not a bad idea to have both of those, I feel, for my portfolio. Now, elsewhere, Wall Street, again, I maintain that's in a secular bear market, long defined by me as a generational long process of valuation contraction. We've seen a lot of valuation contraction on Wall Street in recent years, mainly due to rebuilding of corporate balance sheets and rising corporate profits and rising dividends. But there, we could sum it all up by saying that Wall Street's now considerably less overvalued relative to Asia than it used to be, but it's still overvalued. So I really use Wall Street as an indicator of what's likely to happen elsewhere, and I'm not interested so much in playing cyclical themes such as the recent fashion for technology shares, although I know many of you are, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in terms of my investment portfolio, I want to stick with my big secular themes. And among the equity markets, emerging markets is the big one. And India is my favorite, very favorite for the long term. As you know, I think it's an absolutely spectacular story. It seems everybody and his grandmother is talking India down right now and writing negative reports on India. What does that tell you? Does that mean they're all leveraged up to the eyeballs in India? No, a few are, perhaps. What that tells me, really, is that there are an awful lot of people who either sold India way too soon, or say at the beginning of last year, or who missed the boat on India entirely and are desperately keen to see this market come back down so that they can load up on it. Or maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's not the screaming bargain that it was, but it's a screaming good story, better than any other story in stock markets, in my view, for the next 10 or 20 years, for all the reasons that I've written before. So if I could only have one stock market, I would have India. However, it might not be my nap pick. It wouldn't be my nap pick for 2006 because it may well get a deserved rest in here. But then again, it may not. So I'm still holding my India investments. I'm not that keen on trying to time that, but I want to have a little cash around so that I can buy more India if it does fall back. Those are the main themes that I have really overall. But to talk a little bit more about the emerging markets, I like Asia the most going forward. I think it's the least risky. May not perform the best. It hasn't perform the best. You know, if you'd had petrodollar markets, the Middle Eastern country stock markets, they've done best, but that's just a lot of liquidity chasing some pretty dubious stocks up to very, very pricey multiples. So I'm really not that interested in that game because it's not something that I can follow as closely, or had the same sort of trading vehicles that I could have for other markets. In terms of the Central and South American markets, the Chavez phenomenon does concern me, although Venezuela has looked pretty good in here this week. They had a terrific upward dynamic earlier in the week on that stock market, which had been knocked down about 55%. From its high on governance concerns. But governance is going to remain a big question mark over those central and particularly southern American markets for really quite some time, South American markets. So the two that I would single as being probably the safest and having a lot going for them in terms of the supply and elasticity plays are Mexico and Brazil, the two big ones. Others, I think the fear of Asian of what did I say? The fear of left-wing contagion. Let me not get my tongue twisted again. So let me say that again. For the others, I think the fear of left-wing contagion is likely to cause them to not perform so well as might otherwise be the case, or as we've seen in the past, or as people would hope. Eastern European stock markets, very attractive story, but it's too late in the cycle to be considering those at this stage, in my view. So that's pretty much it on the equity cycle, in terms of, or on the equity sector, in terms of government bonds. I don't like them. I maintain the bull market, secular bull market, ended in June of 2003, and that we're seeing an extensive, lengthy topping out process, very predictable, and therefore the yields are bottoming out on a long-term basis. Do you think, as I've the question I've posed so many times before, do you really think that governments would be selling 50-year bonds if they thought that coupons were going to stay at these levels, let alone go down? Of course not. They know how much paper they're going to be churning out in here, and they also know how much money they're printing. And they know that they're taking some big risks in terms of long-term inflationary prospects. And therefore, I think bonds are likely to be their least rewarding area. And really, if we do get that cyclical stock market correction in 2006, then that should push bond markets up a bit further. And that would create an excellent opportunity to sell some of those contracts short. Long-dated government bond futures contracts, that is, if you're that way inclined. Now, precious metals. I've mentioned these in really talking about the big my big favorite themes here overall. There's an excellent report that's being posted later on today that I really do commend you to. It'll be my lead article. And it's on gold, and I know subscribers will know a great deal about gold, most of you. But this has got the whole history, of the fiat currency business, and so on, and a deconstruction of the CPI fraud that's as good as any that I've actually seen. It's just a terrific, very, very educational report. I printed it off for all my family. This gives you an idea of how good I think this report actually is. Just absolutely stunning. I'm so grateful to subscribers who send me these fantastic things, all in the spirit of empowerment through knowledge. So, precious metals, I think this is a story that's going to run and run. Big secular bull market theme in here. Energy. I think we have seen a bottom in the oil contracts, as I've said before, and that we're on the way back up now. And I agree with Matthew Simmons that you get a weather change, and that would, in other words, we get a little bit of normal winter in the United States, and there's quite a while to go, right through the end of March at least, that could produce that. And I think you'll see firmer energy prices. And natural gas, above all the others, would suddenly rebound very sharply. But right now, it looks very cheap in terms of where it's actually come from. Looks overextended on the downside. But I've said before, almost every time I've accumulated natural gas on these sell-offs. And this is one of the bigger bungee jumps, or the biggest bungee jump since that whole cycle started, that it always feels a little bit masochistic, and I'm not happy to see other positions in my speculative portfolio having their profits offset by red ink in terms of my current natural gas trades, which I reckon have probably put at least, oh, I'd say 2/3 of the profits that I made last month on my natural gas trades underwater. But again, maybe that cold snap will come to my rescue. Now, and I still have one more unit of natural gas that I'm likely to purchase. So again, in terms of these industrial resources, precious metals, that when you get the shakeouts, those are probably the best time to actually start thinking about clambering on board. I say probably because natural gas is vastly more volatile in percentage swings than anything else that we're looking at. I've got a bearish report on copper on my desk. I don't believe it when I look at the price action, which is still very steady, but I might post that next week so that people can see the counter argument. What else to mention in here? Soft commodities, agricultural commodities. I haven't been paying much attention to those in the last few days, but Owen's pointed out some very bearish patterns in the cattle and pig meat contracts. So I think that's pretty much it, folks, except I can say Wall Street looks like we're, well, this is 10 minutes before the close here. Dow's almost unchanged, down very slightly on the day, which is not a bad performance here overall, but this has been a week of consolidation, and we may see a little bit more of that. Have an absolutely splendid weekend. All the best.